scenes with Nashville's hockey team. This is Preds Insiders with Robbie Stanley and Nick Keyser on your home for Smashville, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
And welcome in to another edition of Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by Zen Sports. Robbie Stanley alongside Nick Keyser, as always, here on the program. And we got more hockey coming in Nashville. The Nashville Predators stay alive last night in Game 5. They went 2-1 in Vancouver, and they live to fight another day after being down 3-1 in the series. They force a Game 6 coming up on Friday night here in Nashville. We got a lot to get to on the program today. We'll break down Game 5 fully, look ahead to what that could mean as the series concludes here, either in Game 6 or if the Predators have their way in a decisive Game 7 coming back in Vancouver, which would be on Sunday night. We'll take a lot of different approaches to that, a lot of different perspectives on that coming up. You'll hear from Joe Rexroad later in the program as well. We get a lot to get to. Nick Keyser, how we doing? What's going on?
Oh, not too much at all. I'm running off of fumes, Robbie. That was fun last night, staying up. I just sitting there at home, Kristen staring at me. What are you doing on the couch still? I'm like, still watching the game. So going to bed, didn't go to bed on time, but that's okay. Now we have more hockey to cover. You and I were talking about that yesterday a little bit. But you know what? I couldn't be happier to be still watching playoff hockey. You have to be fortunate. I thought it was funny that yesterday Andrew Burnett talked about it being a car crash.
Yeah.
He said you get to walk out of one. Now, I know from experience what that's like to walk away from a car crash, especially after jumping out of one. So that was pretty crazy. But to hear him make that analogy with Pete.
I forgot you barrel rolled out of
a
moving car.
That's right.
It's a bold move.
Long time ago, right after Robbie Stanley spoke at Vol State, back when I was a freshman in college. Anyway,
bolding the youth of America.
And there you go, embolding everyone. So, look, I think last night was super fun, Robbie. Now, I don't want to say I was stressed out, but I thought it was interesting that there were no goals through two periods when it felt like that there were so many chances for teams to capitalize on the power play. Now, given the Preds' power play is atrocious, and we could talk more about that for sure, but what are your first overall impressions of that win, especially from a guy named Alex Carrier that scored his first playoff goal?
I thought it was a gutsy win. I mean, look, I don't think it could be – I don't think it can really be overstated, like, how difficult the circumstance is in Game 4 that you drop. You're at home. You've got a two-goal lead. You feel like you're on the doorstep of evening up that series. And I talked about it heading into Game 5. Like, the mindset of the team, the approach of the fan base, like, all of it is different if you win Game 4 and you close that out. It's 2-2. You've got two games in a row at home where you had outplayed the Canucks. They're on their third goaltender. They're dealing with some injuries. Like, Quinn Hughes still looks a little banged up. And you're feeling really good, I think, if you're the Predators, about your chances to win two out of those next three. When you lose the game the way they did in Game 4, I mean, it's such a gut punch that we've seen it time and time again in sports. Sometimes those are the type of losses that you just don't come back from. So I think the Predators deserve a lot of credit for kind of picking themselves up off the mat, going to Vancouver, refocusing, and then winning a game. And not only winning a game that you were trailing in the third period. I mean, you know, when Zadorov scored last night to make it 1-0 on a shot that UC Saros has got to have, I thought, well, what if that's it? Like, what if 1-0 is the way you go down here in Game 5? That's a tough pill to swallow. And to their credit, they had a couple of their star players make plays. Like, Yossi makes a play, driving to the net. You know, it's kind of chaos in front of the net after that, and Nyquist is diving in, and they eventually get the goal to Yossi, who's the one that gets credit for it. Forsberg with two assists in the third period last night when you needed him the most. Like you said, a great shot from Carrier from the point to get the puck through, to keep it low.
What a piss missile.
Difficult to really pick up there. It's a great shot by him. So, you know, I think the Predators deserve a lot of credit for the way that they were able to kind of hang in the fight last night. Now, the odds are still against them, right? Like, I mean, they still have to win two, and Vancouver only has to win one. So the odds are still against you to come back and win this series. But you took the first step in doing that last night, and now you got a Game 6 coming up at home on Friday.
Yeah, you do. It's a crucial one, and the Predators have never come back from a 3-1 deficit in any series whatsoever. They've never even won a game in that situation that they did last night. So it's really cool to see them write some new history. Now, for context sake as well, for those that don't know, Andrew Burnett back in 2003, when he was a member of the Minnesota Wild, they were also down 3-1, and they were able to come back and win that series in 7 games. And Andrew Burnett scored the fantastic game winner on a finesse play where he went forehand, backhand, and it looked a lot. I thought it looked similar to some plays that we see now for some wacky endings for sure. So he's well aware of what it takes to win these games and gut them out, right? And I think that's all you can be, is a guy to lean on from the experience. Truly, he is this coach, you know, but I see him more as he's like an added player, like a McDonough or an O'Reilly that goes,
see him as
hey,
like a Jedi. He's like Yoda.
I've been here before. Yeah. He's got that second sense of what he's looking for out there on the ice. And so that's something that I've really enjoyed about his coaching style this year. I think at times it's really fun to see him get down on the wall during a timeout and walk through a play. You know, sometimes it's been Derek McKenzie this year, but oftentimes it's Andrew Burnett as well. So I don't know what they're going to look like here at home. I wasn't too pleased with the first 2 games here whatsoever. Now, I think the 5-on-5 play, we've harped on this for a long time, and I really think that if they just execute on a few more plays, but by golly, it's really coming down to the special teams. If they can't score on special teams, and we've talked about this, Robbie, and I mean, it's something you have to have clicking your way. I mean, there's, what, 3 power play goals the entire series, if that? I mean, there's about 20 power play chances so far, right under that, I think. And there's 3 power play goals. Someone's got to score. Something has to give. But really, the weird thing to say is the Canucks' penalty kill has been the truest. I think it's been just the, it's been, I don't want to say truest facet to the series, but it's really been the biggest dictator so far as well.
It's been good. I mean, the Predators got a power play goal last night, so we'll see if that's one to break through by getting that goal last night. Now, it's a different kind of power play goal. Like, it basically just came as a give and go, like, power move to the net by Josi. And you'd like to see them, once they get set up in the offensive zone, be able to generate some better looks than they have to this point. So power play is certainly still a work in progress here. And it's, if the Predators are going to win Game 6 and Game 7, they're probably going to have to score at least a couple on the power play, right? Like, that's going to have to be a part of this here. But I do think you can make a pretty good argument. I mean, there's no argument in Game 3 and 4. The Predators outplayed them 5-on-5. I thought last night was more even, but the Predators in the second period and in the third period, I think, played well, and I think they're happy with their game there. So you're talking about 3 games in a row where you're feeling pretty good about the way that you've played. The problem if you're the Predators is you've only won one of those, and that's what it's about this time of year in the playoffs, right? Like, I feel like if you're still in the regular season and the Predators have played like they've played all series, you'd be in a pretty good spot, right? Like, you'd feel pretty good about your game. You know that over the long haul of an 82-game season, if you play the way you've played to this point, you're probably going to like the results at the end of the year. Doesn't really work that way in a 7-game playoff series. Like, it's the first 1-4, and it doesn't really matter how you get there. It's just about who gets there. So, like I said, Vancouver still has the inside track to win this series, and I would imagine you're going to see them be pretty desperate in Game 6 to close that out, because I can tell you what they don't want to have happen is to lose Game 6, have things all evened up back for Game 7 at home, and go walking back into Rogers Arena, which is going to be an absolute pressure cooker for them if they do that on Sunday for Game 7. So you're going to see, I think, a pretty desperate Canucks team. I think you're going to see, obviously, a pretty desperate Predators team, because they know if they lose, their season's done. So that has the makings of a good hockey game coming up on Friday. I think the most impressive part about this series for the Predators is they're doing a fantastic job of shutting down Vancouver's scoring chances 5-on-5. Now, they've had a few, and Saros has had to make some saves. Sometimes he has, sometimes he hasn't. But 5-on-5 from some of their big guns, like Pettersson, they've done a great job against him. You know, Miller and Lindholm and Besser are really the 3 guys at forward that have messed with them this series, and you got to find a way to try to contain them. But I think the Predators, you know, the Sportsnet stat of 92 shots through 5 games, the second fewest in the history of the NHL postseason by the Canucks, Preds deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yeah, that's wild. And I think you have to give Preds credit where it is due. And I've been very impressed with how they get back to their spots. They understand where the puck is going. But more importantly, they're making the proper reads. And credit to Dante Fabbro, too, really fast. I think him stepping in and him playing as well as he has in the, I think, just the little bit of ice time that we've seen him get. You know, I think he struggled some in the first game that he came back in and dressed in. But then you have Luke Shen, who is ill and cannot play. And then 12 minutes before warm-up, you got Tyson Barrie getting ready, which is pretty crazy. So he knew that he was going in. So that is pretty cool to see everything shift, and then it results in a win. Now, Tyson Barrie, I thought, was stout enough and did help in the win for sure. I believed he grabbed a very crucial assist in that game as well. So good. I think it's just good of him to see him step up. But more importantly, the overarching theme is the Preds systematically are sound. Now, biggest question is, can they translate that into a win on home ice in order to force a crucial game seven with, just like you said, it's a pressure cooker if you go back to Rogers Arena. So we'll see what that looks like. We're still waiting on a game time for this Friday. So we got Morgan Wallen in town, and then everyone's trying to go home around that time too. So if you're not going to be downtown, don't plan on making any special trips. Yours truly and Robbie and other media members are going to try to get down there too. But although Robbie's there about 5 hours before every game. So,
yeah, bro, preparation. It's playoffs, man.
Yeah.
What's about this time?
Fun times.
Big win for the Predators last night. Big, big win for them. They keep the series alive and live to fight another day. We'll see what they can bring to the table in game six. We'll continue to discuss the game five win for the Predators last night in Vancouver. You'll hear from Joe Rexroad coming up next as well. Get his thoughts on the win for the Predators. All that coming up. You're listening to Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Alex, probably one of the biggest goals of your career. Can you tell us what you saw in that play?
Yeah, I think great pass by Gus going low to high. And then I just saw traffic and took the middle, just shot it. Yo said it was hardest shot I've seen of his life, so just happy it went in.
That was Alex Carrier after the game last night. Yossi saying it was the hardest shot he's ever seen him take. It's pretty hard.
Said it was 69 good. Miles an hour.
Just really
nice.
Ripping it. Yeah, good stuff. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, 615-737.
That's what he said. I don't know.
It's our phone number. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. By the way, Robbie and Rexroad brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to MedicalHouseCalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. So, Joe, getting the win is the most important thing, obviously, and they do that last night. What does the way that they played, the fashion that they got the win, tell you about this group and their chances in your mind the rest of this series?
Well, again, to me, that's three straight games, not start to finish, but three straight games where they've been the better team. I mean, I think they were the better team, clearly, for two of three periods, and they survived that initial push. Some of that was Saros, but some of that was definitely, you know, they were in eating pucks left and right in that first period, right? And just getting out of it and figuring out a way. I mean, look, like Dante Fabbro had a play where he's just basically like, I'm going to dive and try to block the puck with the top of my head.
Yep.
You know, I mean, they were selling out to survive that. And then they were flat out better in the second, third period. So I think you have to like that if you're the Preds. You also understand that, again, you've won one of those three games. So give you a big sense of comfort. I mean, I think we're looking at, whether it's one or two more games, I think we're looking at the same kind of hockey. There's not going to be a lot of shots on goal. There's going to be a lot of grinding. I mean, these teams have whipped up a sufficient amount of dislike for each other. It's going to be physical playoff hockey, and it's going to come down to, a shot that's, like you said, a seeing eye shot from a Carrier that overcomes like a missed completely open net from McDonough and then goes with a fantastic save on Brock Besser right on the doorstep trying to go five hole. I mean, there's going to be a handful of plays.
I saw this stat last night from Sportsnet Stats. The Canucks, 92 shots on goal through the first five games, the second fewest in NHL history of any postseason series.
It's wild.
Think about that. 92 shots, five games, and they're up 3-2 in the series. But the second fewest in the history of the league in post through five games of a series.
Well, and look, I don't have the total like 5-on-5 numbers right now, but like, you know, you look at like what they've done. They had two power play goals Friday, and they had 2 6-on-5 goals Sunday. Like in regular 5-on-5 hockey, they're generating very little.
Yeah.
And again, they're getting here and there, they're getting some shots, and they had some last night, but like it's just not. I mean, the Preds have got that kind of figured out right now, right?
I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, I said it yesterday, right? I mean, I didn't expect the series, like the formula of it, was just all of a sudden going to change. Like, you know, I think there are a lot of Predators fans that expected that they were going to walk in there last night and just get their doors blown off, and that Vancouver was going to have 45 shots on goal, and that was going to be it. And I do think the Predators have a formula here of suppressing shots, and they've done that all series long. At this point, when you reach game six, which is coming up Friday, like I don't think that's just going to magically change. Like the series is what it is, and these games have come down to like who best takes advantage of the limited opportunities that they get.
I mean, that's what it's about. They just randomly emerge.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, that was nothing special going on when Nyquist happens to gather the puck after a Forsberg shot, but he gets over to Carrier and boom. I mean, it's, you know, obviously the power play for the Preds, they're, yeah, like you said, they're 1-for-18 in the power play. And of those 17 offers, some of them were some of the ugliest power plays I've ever seen.
It's bad.
Like little kids trying to enter the zone against an older team or something. Yeah. I don't know what the hell they're doing sometimes. But then you get that little give and go from your two best skaters, and look what happens. So it's going to be like that. It's going to be a couple bang-bang plays that'll decide – one or two games this weekend.
Well, and look, I think it's easy to play this game, too. I saw a lot of this last night of, man, just think about if you could have held on for 2 minutes, or if Colton Sisson scores the empty net goal, you'd be going back to Nashville for game six with a chance to close it out. And I hear you. Like, you know, I can tell you.
Maybe.
I saw it last night. I see it some this morning. The talking point in Vancouver, and there's a quote from Zadorov after the game, is basically – yeah, we feel like we stole one in Nashville, and they stole one here last night. It's kind of the way that they're viewing it. So, look, I have no clue how it would have played out, how the desperation level changes for Vancouver if they're down, if it's 2-2 last night. I don't know. But the bottom line is, to get that win, it now becomes, like, in some ways, a pipe dream to win the series, and now I think you think you have a real chance if you're the Predators. You know, to get that one to come back and – now all it takes is you win one at home and anything can happen in a game seven.
Yeah. First of all, I do have a problem with anyone. Like, you cannot – that game that happened last night, you cannot say that's the exact game that happens if it's 2-2. You can't say that. Like, it's just – you know, you just don't know.
For sure.
You do not know that. There's a very good chance that if the Preds had not blown it, that the Canucks would have found a way to still go up 3-2 last night. You know, so – that's one. And yeah, I mean it's just gonna be a couple of plays that determine this thing, you know. I mean, it's, but I like the Preds and what they're doing. I think they feel really confident in their game. You know, we talked about this going the series. The Canucks possess the puck, but they do it in a sort of a defensive mindset. So they, like, you know, in a way, like, that's still how they want to play at times, but the Preds have been possessing it, you know, in the second and third periods. I haven't seen like the possession numbers, but I mean, they had way more chances. I think 5-on-5, they had like 10-3 in the second period. So it's a better game. You're still, though, you give up one bad goal and you miss an open net and you were that close to losing.
Well, and it's also like from the Vancouver standpoint, you got a few guys that are playing really well that are basically carrying them. Like JT Miller, I think, has been outstanding in pretty much every game. Like, he's their most dangerous player by far, and he's been great. Obviously, Besser has been very good. Like, they're getting nothing from Pettersson. They're getting nothing from, like, Hoglander and some of these other role players that they have. Like, the Predators are doing a pretty good job, on the whole, of limiting them and what they do offensively. Really, it's been Lindholm, Miller, and Besser and then Hughes on the back end that have really carried the way offensively for them.
Yeah, and I mean,
they've done a decent job on Hughes.
They have. But I thought Hughes last night, you know, looked like Quinn Hughes.
He looked
a little slippery, man. Yeah. He's slippery. But, yeah, when it comes down to it, they aren't getting a lot of great opportunities. And last night, when they had some good ozone time and some good – they either got a shot blocked or Saros made – I mean, Saros might have probably made, you know, I'd say a handful of big-time saves last night. Not like, oh, my God, right, fall out of your chair saves.
Saves you need him
really
to make.
Good saves.
Yep, saves you need him to make. And look, there was a little bit of luck, too. Like, the chance – later in the game, like, Besser was all alone in the slot, and the puck kind of flubbed on him a little bit, and he shot it off the toe. But it's still a save that you need your goalie to make there, and he made it. And that's – you said it yesterday, and I think you nailed it. Like, if they have any chance of coming back in this series, it's going to require him to be great. Like, there needs to be a – when you're looking at the goaltending matchup, whether it's Shelaws or Casey DeSmith, and I'm interested to see what they do in Game 6 – but when you look at the goaltending matchup, there needs to be a clear advantage for the Predators the rest of this series. That's how you're going to have a chance. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Jaden. Jaden, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. So I just wanted to comment on the game. Coming out of Game 5, it kind of had the feeling like, wow, this series might be close to over. It kind of felt like it was over from Game 5. But going into Game 6, I thought the Preds were a little shaky. Going into Game 5, I thought the Preds were a little shaky. And I wanted to comment on the Canucks' goal last night. And I know it's not that they've won, but do you guys think that that play was offside? And it could mean a lot if the Preds were to lose and their season was over today, but, of course, it doesn't mean much now. But looking back at that play, it kind of looked like it could have been offsides on that play, and I was shocked that Bruno didn't challenge that. I just want to get y'all's opinion on that.
I think Brunette made an excellent decision not to challenge that play. It was not offside. The skate of the – I don't even know who the forward was on the other side. I have to go back and look. Maybe it was Suter. I have to go back and look. But the skate was in the air, but it's over the blue line. And you can break the plane over the blue line. The skate doesn't have to be on the ice. They changed that rule in 2021. So, you know, back in 2017, 2018, when
nice
Predators got victimized by that a couple times, yes, that would have been offside. But, no, that was not an offside play last night. I think it's – they give you a pretty good amount of time to look at it. And I think given the situation, had Andrew Brunette had a pretty good inkling that it was offside, he would have challenged the play.
It was close. But, yes, you had a nice back and forth on X last night.
I did.
About that. So, nice Ross gift from friends. Yeah, it was a good non-challenge by Brunette, and then I think Tocchet made the right decision not to challenge a goalie interference, I guess, I think.
I think so, too. By the way.
I mean, it's weird, though, that if it's not a Nyquist goal, that it's not interference. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because if it's not, that means you barreled him into the puck, yeah. And he scored.
Yes, it is kind of a strange play. I would have been interested to see what the verdict would have been had they challenged that play for goalie interference. There's one part of this series where when I read the numbers off, I think a lot of Predators fans are going to be surprised. We'll get into that coming up next. Take more of your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Preds, they win last night 2-1 in Game 5. They stay alive in the series, now trailing 3-2. Game 6 coming up here in Nashville on Friday. By the way, a lot going on here Friday night. Got a Morgan Wallen concert at Nissan with a lot of people going to be there. Preds game Friday night. I'm sure something else is going on down there, too, that I have no clue about. So it should be fun.
Yeah, that'll be a bleep show, huh? A little bit.
Yeah.
And, hey, we don't even know the time yet.
We don't know the time. We don't know the time
these
yet.
These TV suits can't just pick a nice time. They got to wait for these other things. Oh, speaking of TV suits, apologies to all the Preds fans. Not that's my fault, but I still feel bad for you. If you had Comcast,
yeah,
a Comcast subscriber, and at midnight, oh, sorry.
I didn't know that was
rest
happening.
Of the game, not on.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alex Doherty tweeted something about it. That's the first time I saw it. He tweeted something about that last night from Vancouver about how that was going to be happening. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me.
It's a good thing it was on TNT, too, I guess, or TBS or whatever it was on last night. But, yeah, it was not great. Not great stuff.
No, not great. So, I mean, you know, Bally not available on YouTube TV, which is what I have. So I have my own just separate subscription to Bally, and the app needs to get better.
It does.
And then you have this for the Comcast subscribers. So that's just, you know, let's figure some stuff out to make it so fans can watch a team.
That would be very good if that could be the case. Joe, how would you describe the way Philip Forsberg has played, in your opinion, in this series?
Well, I don't think he's been as consistently, you know, excellent, overpowering as you'd want to see. But he has his moments too. I mean, he has moments that don't result in goals or in primo scoring chances. I do feel like since the first two games, he has gotten better. That would be my quick assessment.
I would agree. I think for sure he's not been, at least in my opinion, like if you watch him play, you don't come away from it saying that, you know, he's been like some dominant player like he was in the regular season. All of a sudden, though, he does have 6 points in 5 games.
He does.
He has 2 goals, 4 assists in 5 games. And I think he's starting to get better as the series goes along here. And it makes you wonder, now that we're here at game 6 and you're trying to force a game 7, what could that be? If he continues to kind of build his game here, he's still the guy to me that, you know, along with Yossi, can break out and make a play for you at any second. And he's done it a couple of times in this series, one of which I thought was a really good shot in game 2, the other nice redirection after basically Yossi made the play in game 4. But he's 6 points, 5 games. I think a lot of Predators fans would probably be surprised by that in terms of just the production at more than a point per game. But I feel like he's building his game a little bit as they move forward here, which is good.
Yeah. Well, and look, the last two games, like you said, the redirect, not the kick, but that was a play that Yossi creates and Forsberg finishes. And then last night, together, a perfect little give and go on the power play creates the tying goal. So those two guys together teaming up to make huge plays. I also feel like Nyquist, who has been very quiet, is asserting himself a little more. Yep. You know, a guy who I thought last night didn't get rewarded, and maybe there's a little bit of like sometimes just put on net, but like Evangelista at times was, you know,
I agree,
was, you know, playing keep away, a one man keep away in the O-zone, and, you know,
hopefully he's okay.
Yeah,
apparently they're gonna let Dakota Joshua put every Nashville Predator's head through the boards throughout the series, I guess.
That was, when I initially saw that, I'm like, that could be a real problem. He seemed to be fine after that, but that was a bad, bad penalty. Bad play by Dakota Joshua.
Well, and that's what happens when you do it earlier in the series and nothing happens from it. I mean, you're right. I mean, you just go do it again. Why not? Line somebody up on the numbers. If they're not going to do anything about it, then go do it again. I mean,
That was the penalty that led to the tying to pop.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in the minority. Like, I thought it was ridiculous that they didn't at least take a look at that when you drove Spencer Stastny through the boards in game 3. And I think some of the discussion around it was like Stastny put himself in that position. And it's like, okay, well, you still drove his head through the boards.
There's still a responsibility from the player.
Exactly.
Laying the hit.
So, I mean, hopefully Evangelista is all right here moving forward. But I agree with you. Like, Evangelista, I think, continues to be dangerous. I mean, it'd be great if he was playing on a line right now that anybody else could show up with him. I mean, another game from Novak last night where there's just nothing. Nothing going on. He's had 1 shot on goal in every game in this series. So, 5 shots total in the series. 0 points. And then last night, there's nothing from him whatsoever.
And the thing is, I mean, that line, you know, the Evangelista stuff I'm talking about was more, you know, like early in the game. But the thing is, I think the other three lines, all of them played well.
I agree.
I mean, I think the McCarron line is doing exactly what you want those guys to do. Man, speaking of, you know, we talk about the McDonough open net, but man, Sherwood, and I know it's on the penalty kill, but Sherwood with the post right there, 2-on-1 in the penalty. But I think that line, and I mean, Cole Smith last night, I thought, you know, he's all over the place. Boy, he had two primo chances, too, in the slot. By the way, are the Canucks going to change goalies if they can? I think they might want to just stand pat here. I think he's pretty solid.
Yeah, I thought he looked pretty calm last night. I mean, think about the two goals they scored. The first one was just, you know, all hell breaking loose in front of the net there with traffic, with Josi crashing the net, and then Gustav Nyquist kind of falling into you. And then the second one's a good screen by O'Reilly, good shot by Carrier. Like, I think Shelov has been pretty good in the first two games here. So, DeSmith is obviously battling something here. I think that it would probably serve the Predators well if they went back to him. I don't think they will. I think he's going to ride with Shelov, at least for game six. And then if they lose that one and it gets to game seven, then who knows at that point. But I think at least for game six, Tocchet probably sticks with Shelov's in net.
I mean, this is basically like if the Preds were forced to play Askarov in a playoff series right now.
Yeah, for sure. It's pretty similar.
Imagine the takes if that were the case.
Yeah.
Speaking of goalie takes, and that's the thing, if the Preds were to lose last night, you know, we'd be talking about the future and the big picture. But boy, did not help the Winnipeg Jets to have one of the best goalies in the world at all
in this series.
What did he give up? About 40 goals in this series?
Absolutely lit up. It was unbelievable to watch. Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Weston. Weston, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. After watching this series and seeing, like y'all mentioned, Tommy Novak has kind of been irrelevant at this point, is it time to maybe for Bruno to maybe look at Cody Glass, put him in on that line, and see if we can get something going with that group? Because Glass is more physical, which this game and series has been, and I feel like he would give us a little bit more edge going into game six. I'll listen and hang up.
Yep, thanks for the call, Weston. I mean, look, I thought they should – make a change with Tommy Novak for two games now, and they haven't done it. So they're probably not going to do it. Like, my guess is that they're going to roll with the lineup they have, and at some point you hope that Novak finds enough open ice to make a play, right? I mean, nobody should deny that if you give him some open ice and he's in a situation where he can use his offensive ability, he's a good player, right? Like, he can make plays. Problem is, in the playoffs, and particularly in this series, open ice is darn near impossible to come by. So can you create your own offense? And that's, I think, what Brunette was talking about last Saturday when he was talking about Novak. Says he's waiting. And what he means by that is he's just kind of looking around and waiting to see if he can find that kind of that soft ice, and it's not there. And you have to find a way to initiate offense when the soft ice isn't there. And he's just not doing it. Like, and I don't know if it's because – he can't do it. I don't know if it's because it's his first playoff series, and he just, you know, we see this from time to time. You know, Barry Trotz with Jared used the phrase baptized yesterday. Like, you get baptized into your first playoff series, and some people react really well to it. Some people, it takes a while to get adjusted to playoff hockey. I don't know specifically what that means for Novak. I know that at this point, five games into the series, when you've been a total non-factor, it's clear this matchup is not good for Tommy Novak.
No. Now, I said it before, I said it again. I thought in game four he did skate better, and he waited less, and he tried to make things happen. He just couldn't. He couldn't get it done. But like I noticed him more, and I thought he was more aggressive. It's a really interesting situation because I understand the idea. I mean, Devin from Dover is saying put Glass and Parsonen in.
Else are you taking out?
That was my question. I don't think you're going to take anybody else out of the lineup. I guess it's like you just have to ask yourself how much of a difference are you confident it will make. I still feel like the Novak Evangelista, if they do happen to find a minute,
yeah,
a half second, they do have good chemistry. They can create offense. We haven't seen it, but I think that's why he stuck with it, right? If you're not a huge liability, then like how much better are you getting if you put in one of those other two guys? The big body thing with Parsonen, and I get it. I mean, I get the idea.
Well, Novak is also the one – I shouldn't say the one guy, but that line is the one where I think playing at home makes a big difference because you can protect him a little bit better from the matchups. I mean, there was one time they got caught out there last night with Novak, and Saros had to make a couple saves. I think they ended up taking a penalty on the play where it just wasn't – like, they get caught out there in the defensive zone, and you could see, like, Rick Tocchet is licking his chops when he's out there in the defensive zone. So – Like, you can control that a little bit better at home, which is why you probably won't see a lineup change, would be my guess. Assuming everybody's healthy, which we'll see.
I mean, when it comes down to it, you have played your game for the most part for three straight games now. You haven't been rewarded, but you've played your game. I know that those guys are probably the least part of it.
Yep.
He is the least part of it, but that's the reason to not change the lineup. Now, is there any thought at all that, like, you liked how Barry looked out there and you stick with that? Or is it just right back to Shen if he's feeling better in 2 days?
If Shen's feeling better, I'm going back to Shen. Like, I think Shen has been good in this series. I think he's been physical. And, you know, I like what Barry brings offensively. To me, if you wanted to leave Barry in, I would do it at the expense of Favreau before I would Shen, based on the way this series has played out.
You can't take out goal-scoring phenom Alex Carrier.
Well,
you
can't do that. Well, and look, to his credit, like, I didn't think Favreau was very good in Game 4. I thought he played pretty well last night. Favreau was good. Coming up next, our final thoughts on the Predators in Game 6. Can they keep this series alive Friday night at Bridgestone Arena? That's next. Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday night. Preds win last night, Game 5, to force a Game 6 coming up on Friday. So, Nick, now the question is, where do things go from here? It was a big win for them, obviously, last night. Can you take advantage of it at home now in Game 6 and force a Game 7? You know, home ice, obviously, has not meant a ton in this series so far. Even though the Predators, I think, were the better team in Games 3 and 4, they squandered one away at the end of Game 4, couldn't get to the inside in Game 3. They lost both games at home. The Canucks have lost both of their last two games at home as well, so the road team has won four consecutive games in this series. Preds will look to end that trend tomorrow, but can the Predators win in Game 6? Nick, if they're going to do it, and if they're going to find a way to win and force a Game 7, what has to go right for them in Game 6 in your mind?
First thing that has to go right, and this is just the cliche of what Andrew Burnett has said, get to your game fast. I think that's the biggest thing, is if you can get to your identity, if you can dictate the pace, especially at home, and then you capitalize on those opportunities in front of the net. I don't care if it's Seelovs or if it's DeSmith, even Demko, but he's not going to be out there. But it doesn't matter who it is, any goalie in the world, you've got to get pucks early. But more importantly, shoot the puck more often. How about that? I think that's the biggest change if you are the Predators. Shoot the puck often. If you've got 45 shots on net and they're not quality shots, you're not going to win. It's not going to matter. These goalies are dialed in. They've been showing it all series long that if you are dialed in, that's going to make the biggest difference, especially defensively. Now, I think also, too, if the Predators are able to look up the ice for half I don't know if it's half a second faster or shorter for them. It depends who's on the ice. But look, if you don't have a pass, then let's use the glass. I think that's going to be the most important thing for some guys mm-hmm. that are not important, moving things along here.
I like that phrase. If you don't have a pass, let's use the glass. Look at you.
Look, I think it's just common sense. It's something that I was taught very early on, and these guys are pros, but they're well aware of looking down the ice. And look, quite frankly, Vancouver, they're going to kill you with their speed, and they're going to kill you with the sticks on sticks. And if the Predators are playing things off the glass, if they're looking for things around players and not trying to go through them all the time, you might actually see a difference going through the neutral zone. And the Predators played well in the neutral zone here in Nashville. So keep that up, too. But ultimately, Robbie, those are a few things that stand out to me. But you know what, too? I have to bring this up because my goalie best friend texted me during the game, and he said, "You see Saros in that spot, Nikita Zadorov? Why? Why is he letting in a goal like that?" So Juuse Saros has got to play the game of his life. I mean, that's any game moving forward, but he's got to play better. I mean, there's no excuses for that goal. The Predators could have walked out of there without anything like that. That was a blemish to what Juuse Saros has done this postseason so far. It's not been great for him whatsoever. Adam Vingan also kind of walked through that on Robbie and Rex Road earlier in the week. And look, you've got to see a better game from Saros. I'm sorry. I mean, if he's a guy that's going to be earning $8 million a year, you can't let in a goal like that. So,
well, and look, he made some big saves after that, made some big saves before it, but you're right. It doesn't erase letting in a goal like that. Like, you've got to find a way to be better. And I thought last night was a good step for him. Like the one goal obviously is bad. He did make a couple of big saves. And look, when you're on your third goaltender like Vancouver is, goaltending has to be an advantage for you if you're the Predators. If it's not, then you just don't have a chance. Like, look, and Shelovs, I think, has played really well. I think based on what you could have possibly expected out of your third goaltender if you're Vancouver, I think it's gone really well for him to this point. Now, having said that, you need to be able to have the goalie advantage if you're the Predators in this series. I thought they had it last night. We'll see if they can get it back in Game 6. Like the Predators, like we talked about earlier, they've done a really good job of suppressing shots. But you're not going to totally prevent Vancouver from getting chances. So when they get their chances, you need your goaltender to answer the bell. Look, I think the environment in Game 6 is going to be awesome. I think the crowd's going to be hyped up, ready to go. I think the Predators have really lucked out here in terms of when the games have been at home. You're talking about a Friday night, a Sunday afternoon, and now it's going to be a Friday night again. I mean, you can't ask for much better than that if you're the Predators. But like I said, they haven't won either one of those games at home yet. You got an opportunity to fix that on Friday night in Game 6. And, you know, it's not everything. Like, we've seen teams before. I talked about this earlier. Sometimes pressure is a good thing, and sometimes you see teams respond really well when their backs are against the wall and they've got all the pressure in the world on them. And sometimes it makes a team fold. And Vancouver, if they lose Game 6, a lot of these guys that are on that team have not been through a situation like they're going to be going through for Game 7 if it plays out that way. All the noise in Vancouver is going to be, man, can you imagine if they blow this and they let this collapse? And we know Vancouver, obviously they're a very passionate fan base. There's a lot of noise in that market. And if the Predators find a way to win Game 6 – and even this thing up, there's going to be a ton of pressure on Vancouver, and we'll see how they handle that. You got to do it first. Again, winning three games in a row in a series is a really tall task. So the numbers are still against the Predators. But that first one, I always believe, is kind of the hardest one. Like, if you can win Game 5, especially when you're Game 5 on the road coming back home for Game 6, you're giving yourself a shot. And after Sunday, I didn't know the Predators. I wasn't convinced they were going to give themselves a shot. And now they have. So we'll see what they do with it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And you hit on this morning, and I think it's worth bringing up. Very quietly, Forsberg has 6 points in 5 games. Yep. And he's looked really good. And he's got a 0 for his plus minus 2. I mean, he's been kind of up and down with different situations, I think. Just being out there at the wrong place at the wrong time, we all know, because of what happened in Game 4 with him and Ryan O'Reilly. But look, I also think another huge factor for me is, while I talked about the identity earlier and that being one of the major factors, if you also have that fourth line steal you a couple of different crucial moments in a game, because look, Sherwood rang one off the iron last night. Yep. On a shorthanded chance. That was phenomenal. And those guys are always hounding and hungry for pucks, and if they keep doing that, they will get a goal. I mean, they showed in the regular season why they were so important to this team. And look, I'm not saying Cole Smith is going to be your do or die or Big Sexy is either. I mean, that's not the case whatsoever. But they can certainly give you a big advantage, especially in your own building here in Nashville. So that's going to be very big. Now, if Tommy Novak, if he shows up in Game 6, by golly, he's been listening. But I think that would be awesome to see him step up too. He's been struggling this postseason. I mean, look, it's his first lick at this bit of action for his career with Luke Evangelista. And I think guys like Jason Zucker and Anthony Beauvillier, they've really thrived, and they've shown why they were worth going to get during the trade deadline. So could those guys be part of the future? I would certainly go give Jason Zucker a new contract just based on the first 5 games. But look, I think he adds a lot of value, as do a lot of guys as well. I've even been impressed with Mark Jankowski, really. I mean, he's been awesome to kind of watch. He was 6 for 10 on faceoffs last night as well. So he's giving you some crucial moments in the faceoff dot as well. Doesn't get tossed out of them very often either. Very disciplined guy. So, Robbie, it's going to be huge to be back here in Nashville. And can they pull it out? Can the Nashville Predators ultimately force a Game 7? And I'm trying to remember the last time they played in a Game 7. Maybe you would know, but I think it was maybe against the Anaheim Ducks. in their building, I
think? Probably Winnipeg. I think it's probably Winnipeg.
Oh, that's right.
In 2018, Game 7 at home. And that did not go overly well.
But they're 1-2 in Game 7s.
Yeah. That sounds right. Yep. I mean, look, the tough part about all this is, had you just held on in Game 4, who knows how Game 5 would have played out? Would it have been the same after that? I don't know. But let's say it was. You hold on in Game 4, and you do exactly what you did yesterday in Game 5. You're coming home for a chance to wrap things up, and you got a chance to wrap up the series on home ice. You know, that's the disheartening thing if you're a Predators fan. You know, the game was right there for the taking for you in Game 1. You're up 2-1 in the third, and there was a 12-second span where you let it get away. You're up in the third period 3-1 with 2 minutes and 49 seconds left in Game 4, and you let it get away, and you lost. Like, there have been a couple of different really big missed opportunities for the Predators in this series. Even Game 3, like, you weren't ever leading in that game, but you had the puck basically the whole third period, and you just couldn't get one to go. Like, they've had plenty of chances, if not to be leading this series, they've certainly had plenty of chances to maybe even have wrapped it up at this point. But that's what it is this time of year. It's capitalizing on those chances, and Vancouver, to their credit, has been able to do that in key moments. Now, if you're the Predators, can you find a way to dig a little bit deeper? Look, they've expended a lot of energy in this series. It's been a very physical series. And now when you get to this point, like, everybody was worried about the travel heading into it. And I'm not really worried about the travel in Game 1, Game 2, Game 3, Game 4. When you start to get into Game 6 and Game 7, which team manages the travel better, right? Like, which team is less affected by the travel? Because about the third or fourth time on that plane, that's when it starts to be like, oh boy, like, this is a long schlep from Vancouver to Nashville. So I'm very curious if that becomes a factor in Game 6 or Game 7. And if so, who will it be? It would probably, I mean, if you had to put money on it, the Predators have made one more trip out there than Vancouver has made. So you would think it would probably be them, but maybe not. I mean, it's a long way to go for both teams in this series.
Yeah, it is. But to kind of be devil's advocate there, hey, the Preds did get there a few days early before Game 1, but then again, it's not that big of a difference. Now, Vancouver has less playoff experience. Now, that is where this does come in. That does kind of just make a big difference here. So can Nashville's playoff experience, can those veterans make the big difference here, morale-wise, but also on the ice? McDonough's been great. We also know that Gus Nyquist and Ryan O'Reilly have been great on their line with Philip Forsberg. So can Philip Forsberg create some magic? Barry Trotz, I don't want to say called him out when he was speaking with Jared yesterday.
No, but they need more from him.
But they do need more from him for sure. So can they get that from the 29-year-old who just put up 48 goals? I would basically call him a 50-goal scorer. I mean, he was pretty darn close. So can the Preds pull it out? I would love to see it. I know that I don't want to see them go, hey, they go as far as they want. I get married on May 26th. So we'll see how things go, Robbie.
We'll see how it goes. We'll find out Friday night if the Predators can keep their season alive and force a Game 7. That's going to do it for us today here on Preds Insiders. Penalty Box Radio coming up next.